A week ago, I went to see a film that really moved me. Three identical strangers, a true story. Identical triplets were separated at 6 months and placed in different homes for adoption. They encounter each other by accident 19 years later. Initially, it's a wonderful story of lost relationships reclaimed. But it turns quickly to a dark side as it becomes clear that they were separated as part of a psychology experiment that ran from 1961 to 1980. You come to experience the pain of the separation they felt, even though they didn't know each other existed. And one of them asks, "Is this how you treat children? I thought this only happened in Nazi Germany." In fact, it was in New York City. It tugs at the heart and makes you realize just the woundedness of those hearts. That focus on a heart that is wounded became my focus as I prayed with the texts for today. It is easy just to take this gospel and place it separately. But this is the end of a whole sequence of gospels that began back on July 22nd, when Jesus encountered a crowd coming to him, and he was moved from the depths of his being, from the depths of his heart, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he responds by teaching them. He responds by miraculously feeding them. He responds by offering them himself as the bread of their lives. It's hard to imagine the immensity of that heart, his love for the little ones, especially to those before him who were so in need. And as I listen to the question in today's gospel, "Do you also want to leave?" I heard a deeply wounded heart. One that so wanted to reach out, to gather people, to feed them, to comfort them, to give them life eternal. Now, seeing people walk away. Imagine that heart for a moment. A heart so big, so deep, so loving, as to be able to feel pain and to desire so much more for all people, especially those in need. Imagining that heart led me to pray with how Christ must feel today before the gaping wound revealed in our church over the last few weeks. Think of those wounds. Wounds inflicted on the little ones, on children. Wounds inflicted on God's faithful who find their trust again betrayed. A wound inflicted on a world that so needs to hear the message of the gospel and now recoils instead at the spectacle of abuse and cover-up. The sheer scope of these cases and their cruelty and the cover-up that paid little attention to shattered lives must wound his heart, must wound ours as his disciples. No doubt we feel anger, outrage, as the Pope has said, and the pain that we knew when after the revelations in Boston 16 years ago. That scab is once more pulled out and echoes in our hearts, but echoes in his as well. For he so denounced anyone who would harm even one of the little ones. The passion we feel at the moment, frustration, rage, come from the fact that our hearts are like his as we care for his little ones, as we care for his message and his church. This is such a hard time. No wonder some walk away in disgust as the faith they love becomes a source of pain, as their trust in shepherds in the church is betrayed once more. No wonder anger surfaces. It certainly does in my heart, with frustration, with a feeling of despair that can accompany it. But what shall become of this anger? Where shall it go? I know the temptation for me is often toward a sense of hopelessness. Sure, lots has changed since 2002, thank God. But the wound goes so deep and continues to be revealed and touches the heart of the church and ours. How do we move forward now? How can we be a church that offers life to all people when we know ourselves as broken? How can we help heal the little ones who have been so wounded by those ordained to serve, not to be served? The immensity of the moment and the need for conversion seems daunting. No wonder we pray for conversion this morning. We are all called to put on ever more deeply the heart of Christ, to be called to that holiness that Vatican II asks of us. Holiness, the ability to make Christ real in our world and to be his heart in our world and in our church. How do we let the anger that flows from our love of Christ and his little ones become not a source of cynicism and despair, but a springboard to rebuild his church, that call that St. Francis of Assisi knew? How do wounded hearts, angry hearts, hearts that ache for those abused, respond? As when called to leadership in the church and the society of Jesus, to ministry in Jesus' name, I need the intensity of the call that arises from the people of God, from you, from your anger, from your questions, though I have no right to ask anything of you. The voice of so many Catholics, overwhelmed by all that has happened, calls me, as it calls the whole church, to discern from our hearts, hearts like Christ's, not from calculations of politics or security or, God forbid, power. Your demand for a different church becomes for me a call of the Lord, who so wishes to reach out to little ones whose heart is, for his heart is always moved toward them. I have heard, and rightly so, the demand that the focus of the church has to be the creation of a space in which children, the vulnerable, and all God's people find a place of security, a place they can trust. That holy anger bids me and all of us in leadership to look again at how we lead, how we respond, how do we care. Do we always place victims of abuse and those who are vulnerable at the forefront of our prayer and reflections and action? How do we become shepherds after the heart of Christ, not managers? The pain of the moment, frustration and anger of so many, invites me to focus as Christ did, as too often we did not do in the church. For that, I beg your pardon. The church begs your pardon. It is we who need to pray for forgiveness this day. Pardon of you, of victims of the Lord whose heart must ache. But there is more. We have known too long the reality of abuse, but now the question of a cover-up, of a lack of accountability, of placing self-defense above all else, shreds the credibility of those called to minister in the church. People set apart to serve too often have become a caste for themselves, what Pope Francis calls clericalism, in a way that often has left you powerless, voiceless, in the dark. The call to accountability comes from the heart of Christ, who asks it of his servants. We who have been called to ministry are set apart, as the prayer says, but not above. We need a transparency that enables you to exercise the place in the church to which you are called by your baptism. Too often we have forgotten that as pastors in the church, and for the blindness that too often has kept you passive or voiceless, again, I ask your pardon. The gifts you have from God, from baptism, from the anointing of the Spirit. Gifts I have seen and heard in abundance are a great gift to the church and to the world. You have hearts that care for the little ones, hearts now wounded. How shall we become accountable to you? Transparent, servant leaders as you ask, as Christ asks. Your anger is a holy call. You call me to be more authentic as a shepherd, though my heart breaks with you. In the end, isn't the question, the dramatic question, how we shall be church in the light of what we have seen these weeks? This isn't a time just to tighten controls or open up the files, though those steps are needed. Absolutely. We need to ask what this kairos, this moment of grace means, how we are called to live with the heart of Christ today. How shall we hear the call to conversion that we become again, a body, a community that can witness to justice and peace, to inclusion in a world that needs us? How can we speak with credibility to those who suffer under the burdens of poverty or illness or racism, those who are excluded as refugees? The world needs us to have that credibility. And the spectacle of the last few weeks makes that so much more difficult. But from this humiliation, something new can arise. And you must call us to it. We believe in faith, and certainly I do as a shepherd of the church, that this can happen. Call us to be the shepherds you need and the world needs. Here at College Church, in the Society of Jesus, in St. Louis and beyond, that together we may live and serve after the heart of Christ, the heart always turned toward little ones. I have no right to ask this of you, but so many of you have already voiced by your frustration or anger a call that we be different as church. Thank you. For the depth of your passion and the anger that speaks of your love for the church and for Christ, and for the fidelity that demands so much more, not someday in the future, but now. Thank you. Perhaps in the light of the first reading, this is the time in which God calls us to a new covenant, remembering what God has done, committing ourselves in fidelity to the heart of Christ. May we become a people gifted by grace, serving God's little ones. How will we do this? God, I wish I knew. We're at the beginning or the middle of a process, not the end. But I trust that by listening to God's voice in you, and especially in all who are wounded, something new will arise by the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ, whose heart is so great that it triumphs even over death.